Welcome to Fashion Designers Get Paid, a podcast for burnt out fashion designers who want to ditch the toxic rat race, say bye-bye to backstabbing bosses, and work with brands who value and respect them. I'm your host, Heidi, and I believe that you can do things differently in your fashion career. Because the truth is, most industry jobs will underpay and overwork you. And having your own brand is far from profitable. Let's also be honest, most of them fail. So if you actually want to, well, be a fashion designer and get paid, the best way to do it is as a freelancer. Now, maybe you've been told that brands don't accept remote freelancers, or that freelancing means being an exploited temp employee working full-time without benefits. Or to work freelance, you have to be a rock star expert with all the skills from design through development. I'm going to show you that it is possible to be a real freelancer in fashion, work remotely with brands you love, and make money, even if you're terrified you don't have all the answers. You got this, and I'm here to help you do it. No one talks openly about salary and pay rates, or honestly anything that has to do with money and fashion, which can make it really, really hard to figure out your freelance rate. And the truth is, one of the number one questions that I hear from freelance fashion designers all the time is, how much should I charge? What should my rate be, et cetera? And unfortunately, I don't have a super perfect magic answer, because the reality is that your rate will be different than my rate or the rate of other fashion designers reading this, because we're all different. We don't live in the same area. We don't have the same skills, and we don't offer the same services. But there are some simple strategies to calculate and negotiate your pricing, whether you want to freelance hourly or by project. Here's some really awesome techniques that are going to help you figure out your pricing. Hey, real quick, before we jump into the episode, if you're sick of being tied to a desk and want more freedom in your day, I want to help you. Snag my free limited time training, How to Freelance in Fashion, even if you're terrified you don't have all the answers, to learn my 5-step freelancing framework so you can work for yourself in fashion and get paid. Get instant access at soheidi.com/freelance. We'll link it in the show notes. All right, now let's get started. Full disclaimer that every pricing tip I've shared here is a real life strategy that I have successfully used in my freelance career, or one of my freelance accelerator fast students have used. And I also surveyed over 100 fashion professionals and freelancers and asked what their rates were, how much they were charging, and how much they were getting. And I'm going to share some of those real life examples for both hourly, daily, and project prices below. So first, let's talk about hourly. I actually suggest that everyone starts with hourly. It's the simplest option for you and your clients. And the simple way to do this is to use a strategy called drop 3 zeros. If you've ever worked as an employee, this is the easiest option. You just take your yearly wage and you drop 3 zeros. So for example, if your yearly wage is $60,000 an hour, you can drop 3 zeros and say, okay, I can earn $60 an hour. If it was $35,000 a year, you can charge $35 an hour. Now, this number is going to vary depending on, again, where you live and what your skills are. If you've not been employed in the fashion industry, then look at jobs that you could take based off of your skill level, and you can base it based off of that rate from that job. Now, there's a lot of pros and cons to charging hourly. Pros is that it's very comfortable for many freelancers, especially when you're starting out. It's very normal and understandable for clients, and it's really simple to plan your finances based on how many hours you work. Now, the cons of this is that you only have so many hours in a week, and your income is potentially capped. You can only raise your rate so much before your client refuses to pay such a high hourly rate. I say that because that can happen. However, I do know freelancers that charge $150, $200, upwards of even $300 an hour, and they get it. Okay. Another con to charging hourly is that it can be really laborious to track your time for every email and phone call and meeting. And yes, you should be charging for emails and phone calls and meetings. And the last is that as you get faster at doing the work, your rate does not scale proportionally. Okay. So we'll get into day rates and project-based rates in just a minute, but I want to share a few real-life examples of charging hourly from people who were so gracious enough to share this data. This is as of, this data was collected in late 2023, December 2023. So depending on when you're listening to this episode, these numbers may or may not have changed much. Christina Ward, who is a freelance print designer, charges between $45 to $55 an hour. Andresa Iope, who is a freelance kidswear fashion and textile designer, charges $60 an hour. Carolyn Kwan does freelance illustration and textile design. She charges $100 per hour. She lives in Australia. Maddie Ciccone is a freelance fashion buyer and merchandiser. She charges $70 per hour in Canada. Another woman by the name of Eileen Holmes is a freelance graphic, freelance apparel graphic and textile designer in New York. She charges $85. Andrew Zoe does freelance packaging design in Canada for $120 Canadian dollars per hour. Ferdinand Onanda, I might be butchering some of these people's names, sorry. Ferdinand Onanda is a freelance graphic designer in Florida. He charges $100 an hour. So you can see the range really varies. I even have one more in here too. Arya is a freelance fashion and technical designer from India. She charges $20 an hour. So you can see the rates really, really vary. And it can really depend on what your services are, where you live, as well as the confidence that you have to put yourself out there at a certain rate. All right, so let's talk a little bit about how to charge day rates. It's very simple to essentially take what your hourly rate would or could be based off of the Drop Three Zeros formula that I just shared, multiply it by eight, and let's say if you're charging $35 an hour, you multiply by eight, that's $280. So your day rate could be $300 per day. I don't see day rates happening very often in the United States. I see this much more commonly in the UK. And some of the pros of this is that it's simple to plan your finances based on how many days a week you work. And again, you don't have to track every minute. You just can invoice how many days. And the challenge with this is that if you are charging by the day, an 8-hour day can sometimes turn into a 12-hour day. So I don't always love that. And the cons to this is that I don't see many people doing this in a true remote freelance capacity. It's more on-site freelancing for X number of days. And to me, that's not actually freelancing. That's a permalance temp job. So if you're just doing like a few days of consulting here and there, that may not be a huge deal, but think about carefully signing up to do a day rate 5 days a week, and you might not be creating the lifestyle that you were imagining. So a few real life examples of day rates, $320 a day from Linda Briggs in the UK, $300 a day from Mark Barba in Germany, $800 a day from Sophia Morin Staple, who's a freelance trend forecaster in France. Leanne Hardacre is a freelance clothing designer in the UK, charging $250 per day. All these amounts are in their local currency. Let's see, John Gordon, a freelance technical consultant, charges between $250 and $275 per day. Kat Smith, charging between 350 and £400 per day. So those are some ranges for day rates. We can see they're pretty much between like the $250 to $400 per day, with some outliers stretching up towards $800 per day. After we get towards past charging per day or per hour, where we're charging per time, we can think about how to charge by project or by a piece, i.e. maybe one tech pack or one flat sketch. And the reality is that you can earn a lot more money this way. But it can also bite you in the butt if you underestimate or if you don't put your foot down against an abusive client. The reality is that even in almost a decade into my freelance career, I still underestimated some big projects, especially when working with new clients. Things can get really tricky. You have to know what questions to ask. You have to be really good at clearly outlining the project scope and managing client expectations. You have to think about things like making sure you're looking through all the files that you're going to be inheriting so you don't wind up with a bunch of unusable Illustrator flats with thousands of anchor points and you have to redraw everything. And it's hard to bring that stuff up after the fact if it wasn't part of your proposal initially. So I really, 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 really recommend that you charge when you start out on an hourly rate and you move into project rates later, once you sort of understand some of the nuances of quoting and asking the questions and learning how to lead discovery calls to get all of the information that you need in order to create an accurate proposal based off of a project-based rate and what it might actually take. So if you're feeling up for it, maybe if you're a little bit more advanced or you're just like, I just still wanna go dive in, here are some ways to calculate your project rate. So you can charge based on an estimated number of hours, right? So if you know the tech pack is going to take 3 hours and you want to earn $50 an hour, then you can charge $150 for tech pack. Your client doesn't know your hourly rate's $50. They don't know it's going to take 3 hours. They just know that the tech pack costs $150. But you have to be really careful about flat rate things for stuff like tech packs and even design, right? Because the difference between a t-shirt and a complex piece of outerwear is very, very, very vast, right? And then also when you think about tech packs too, like, are you creating the flat sketches or do they already exist? Do they have specs for trims and findings and hang tags and labels already developed? Do you have to create the graded specs and fill out the POM, or does your client already have that done? And so in reality, things like tech packs, I don't necessarily recommend a flat rate, but I recommend offering a range depending on the design. So tech packs might be anywhere from $300 to $1,500 depending on the complexity of the design. And yes, for anyone who's freaking out there at the thought of charging $1,500 for a tech pack, we do have people inside of our FAST program that charge that much. You can get that much. It is not beyond reach. So project-based rates, as I said, do get more complicated. And if you're doing a project-based rate, you're going to want to make sure that your proposal is super thorough. It outlines exactly what the client gets, including number of revisions, all that sort of thing. And if the client is getting maybe a little bit excessive with revisions and you're falling into a scenario that is called scope creep, where the scope of the project that was outlined in the initial proposal is creeping beyond what was initially outlined, you as a freelancer need to be prepared to pick up the phone, jump on Zoom, call them out on that. You have to sort of manage the project and manage the client. And what I find is with a lot of freelancers who are newer in their career, those are very hard conversations to have and to lead. And so if you are a little bit less experienced in general, maybe if you're not as assertive of a person, you're not used to managing a whole project, it can get really, really tricky and really challenging with project-based pricing. So that's the first option with project-based pricing, is charging based on an estimated number of hours. But you can also consider charging based off of value, because the reality is that just because you can finish the tech pack in 3 hours at $50 an hour doesn't mean it's only worth $150. You have built up skills over the years and over time that have given you the benefit of speed and efficiency, and you've got templates that you can use, and it doesn't mean that it's only worth those 3 hours of time. And so that tech pack that only takes you, only air quote, takes you 3 hours, may be worth $300 or $1,000 or $1,500 to the client. And so what I want you to think about is that some people kind of freak out when I say that, and I don't want you to think that you're all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, if I'm charging $1,000 for a tech pack and it only takes me 3 or 4 hours and I'm making $300 an hour. You can look at it that way if you want, but some people kind of get a little bit jolted by that and feel like, I can't charge my client that. What the reality is that your client is paying a flat rate in exchange for an item to them that is worth $300 or $1,000. And it is separate from the time that it takes. The value of that item to them carries a value of $1,000, right? I always use the example of a lawyer when I talk about this. Lawyers have all sorts of templates and stuff, and they're not necessarily, we hired a lawyer to set up some documents for my father-in-law. And I can tell you for a fact, not everything was written from scratch. And so he didn't charge on an hourly basis, because the reality is that we're paying him for his expertise and that he knows how to put this stuff together. And even if he is using some templates and he's pretty fast at this, this is the value of what it's worth, right? So that's kind of how you can think about your freelance rates when you come to charging by project, by value. Again, this is a little bit more advanced and nuanced, and you can get into some trouble on your first few projects. Most people I see are undercharging without fail on project-based rates when they first start out that way. So know that going into it, there's going to be a learning curve, and that you'll get better with time and you can adjust going forward. So some of the pros and cons to charging by project or by piece, right? By one tech pack costs about this. We've already talked about these a little bit, but I'll just summarize real quick. The faster and more efficient you are, the more money you can make, which is amazing. You can charge based on value and make really good money. And the reality is that some clients really like knowing a flat rate of what something will cost. The cons, like I mentioned already, it can take time to develop skills and accurately assess what a project is going to take and what work needs to go into it. Most freelancers tend to underestimate it first. I've done this, and so has pretty much every single one of my students. And scope creep, right? As I mentioned earlier, when the scope of the project creeps beyond the original agreement, is super common and can create really difficult conversations. The reality of that is that either you can get abused by doing too many revisions, or you have to raise the rate mid-project. And these, again, can just be challenging conversations. So a couple of real life examples of charging by project or by piece. Soidy is a freelance fashion designer specializing in fashion flats and tech packs. She lives in Venezuela, and her range for tech packs ranges between 100 and 850. Emma from California charges project-based rates of anything between $5,000 and $25,000. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into that $25,000 project, but that is definitely possible. Becca Oakes is a freelance print designer from Australia, and she charges between $650 to $850 for a pre-designed print and $900 plus for custom-designed prints. So the reality is that when it comes to your rate, what I tell all my students, the first year of freelancing, you're optimizing for learning, learning with an L. And the second year of freelancing, you're optimizing for earning. So you're not going to go out there and earn the best rate possible at the very beginning. There's a learning curve to this. I always talk about how pricing is like learning how to sew. Different fabric, different threads, different machines are going to use different tensions and different settings and different presser feet. And the reality is the same with clients. Every client's situation might be a little bit different. And it's not until you do a lot of projects that you really start to understand these nuances. Just like sewing, you can listen to this podcast. You can read all my guides on pricing. You can even talk to me one-on-one in some of my hands-on programs on pricing. And until you actually get out there and like put that fabric through the machine and sew that fabric and do it a bunch, it is a learning curve that you learn by doing. So I've got some other great resources that I'll link in the show notes. I've got tips on how to raise your freelance rates. I've got a few other podcast episodes where some of our students specifically talk about the rates that they're charging and how they got those rates, et cetera. So we'll link to all of those in the show notes. Go out there, get a rate that feels comfortable and feels good for you. Optimize for learning and then raise your rates as you go. You're doing great. You got this. Thanks so much for listening to the Fashion Designers Get Paid podcast. If this episode inspired you in any way to get out of the mass-produced rat race and get your fashion career out of the hands of toxic corporate bosses, just like one of my students did, Alexandra, who makes more money in one day of freelancing than she did in 2 weeks at her old industry job. Yes, true story. I'd love to help you take control of your own destiny as a freelance fashion designer or TD, PD, pattern maker, etc. Get instant access to my free limited time training at soheidi.com/freelance. We'll link it up in the show notes. And of course, make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. We release new episodes every Monday to help inspire you for or help you get through the week ahead. You got this. Me and my team are rooting for you.